Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Ridiculous History is a production of iHeartRadio.
Welcome back to the show, Ridiculous Historians. Thank you, as always, so much for tuning in. Let's have a very special shout out to our favorite returning guest, one of the core members of the Ridiculous History family, the legendary super producer, Mr. Casey Pegram.
Glad to be back with you guys again.
Good to have you, man.
We were just talking about like Marvelfication of cinema, and like we've got the Ridiculous Cinematic Universe.
I'm here. the extended universe coming in. Yeah,
dude, you're the core universe returning. You know
That's
what
true.
I mean?
Okay.
This is so. I'm Ben. You're Noel. We've got Casey.
'Tis I.
Yeah, we've got a shout out to Max White Pants Williams. Off on adventures in the Pacific Northwest.
I hope his pants
Northwest.
Are still clean. I hope they're still pristine.
I hope he keeps them under glass. And, you know, Noel, I think I mentioned it, but I didn't want to go too hard on him because I didn't want him to feel eclipsed. But I also have a pair of white pants for a wedding, and I straight up did not wear them because I was like, it's going to be a long, hot, Tuscan afternoon, you
Ooh,
know.
Tuscan. That's you know what? Wearing a white suit in Tuscany is very on brand. I think that's cool. It's very Godfather too.
I guess so. Yeah.
There are photographs of me that exist out there in the world somewhere of me as a small child wearing a white suit to a wedding as well. So while I'm not with you contemporarily, young me is on board.
I've got a seersucker. I call it my televangelist suit. Casey saw me wear it a few times. Back in the day. You remember what I'm talking about? Yeah.
How does one suck a seer, Ben?
Well, you can suck up to a seer by following a cult, right?
There you go. There you go.
But one thing that stands out, my very close friend who had this wedding in Italy, weddings can be stressful. They're beautiful, right? I was there just to basically drop a hot 3 minutes, do my tight 3 minutes there. And, when I got there, first time in Italy, I looked around, and this is my buddy Corey Oliver. We all know him. And I was like, Corey, dang, man, all those paintings at Olive Garden are accurate. This is what it looks like. And he said, don't say that, dude. I worked so hard on this. But I looked at it, and you look out across, you know, this like wine country landscape, and it seems that all of the trees and the shrubs are just so. They seem somehow naturally manicured. Italy runs topiary, at least in the natural sense. And I think it's something that, we're gonna spend some time on this, Noel, because our research associates are also pretty excited about this. Did you guys have like topiary growing up? Did you go through hedge mazes, anything like that?
Well, I mean, I don't think we are of the echelon of society that has topiary. I don't know about y'all. My upbringing was somewhat middle class at best. Topiaries seem like they're the kind of thing that go in, like, Tuscan gardens or, like, Biltmore Estate. Don't they have topiaries at Biltmore Estate? I'm pretty sure they do. Or, like, you know, the Overlook Hotel in The Shining.
Well, I was going to say, that's my association, is reading The Shining, the novel, and reading about the topiary animals coming to life and all that. So, yeah.
Which they didn't really play up in the movie at all. There's no, Edward Scissorhands. That's a hallmark of topiaryism.
Yes, for the topiary enthusiast in the crowd, a huge contingent of ridiculous historians, the time has come. I remember many years ago, I would, like, we probably all had to do a little bit of landscaping, housework stuff growing up. And one of the things that I don't want to say got in trouble for, but got reprimanded for, was we had one of those electric hedge trimmer clipper things.
You did your own topiary, huh?
I did some topiary. Mm-hmm. And then my mother, who has passed, saved me and was like, "You messed up this shrub. So now, while you're here, go ahead and do something with the rest of them." And so
continuity is key.
There we go. She dystified me. But we don't know. It turns out topiary as an art, as a craft, as a pursuit is pretty ancient. We in the modern day have no idea who looked at a shrub and said, "Nah, I'm going to zhuzh it up a little."
Yeah, topiary is kind of like the balloon animals of gardening, in a lot of ways. And it's older than you'd think, which I guess makes sense because, as long as there have been people walking the earth, I think there have probably been some form of bush.
Yeah, they predate humans by a long time.
I think that's probably right. And if there's one thing that humans have always been known for is having imagination. You look at a thing, you say, what if that thing were another thing? And how can I make that happen? Maybe with this rock or just by, tearing away branches with my rough-hewn, ape hands.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we know Romans were fans of topiarization, and they seem to have picked it up, like so many other things, from the Greeks of old. And then the ancient Egyptians were also snipping away at topiary. We're getting a lot of this from a great article on Country Life. Topiary, the ancient art of transforming nature into cubes, pyramids, and peacocks. So that's we always love a shout out to a weird headline.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I think the key here is it's always been a sign of opulence because, like, who has the time, or the resources to do something so borderline frivolous and absurd, that requires a lot of care and maintenance? I mean, I could barely get a haircut on a regular basis, let alone keep my topiary from becoming overgrown.
I've been wearing a hat all week because I haven't made the time to shower. So I get it. People are out here changing the world. I fell asleep trying to put on a pair of pants one time.
I love the notion, though, that wearing a hat is somehow a good cover up for not showering.
It is. Also, we're recording remotely, so no one can smell me. Everybody pretend I smell amazing. But
I can tell you from experience, you do smell amazing, Ben.
Ben, is that lavender?
It is lavender, Casey. Follow my OnlyFans. So, you're raising an excellent point here. I would put topiary, it reminds me of an earlier episode we did on garden hermits. Topiary is like a step beneath garden hermits, beneath paying a
human,
otherwise homeless guy. Yeah, it'd be a lawn exhibit. But we know that back in, as far as 100 CE, Pliny the Younger talked about his garden in his country villa, because to your point, Noel, it is something that pretty wealthy people tend to do in society. And he was like, my garden at my country house, I've got this whole slope adorned with figures of animals in box. I've got a lawn that's enclosed with evergreens shaped in a variety of forms. It was like his version of cribs. That's why he was describing this.
I think Animals in Box would be a good name for a band. I don't know why. It just hit me that way.
That works,
It's true. Pliny the Younger. I guess related to Pliny the Elder? Or they were just trying to keep our Pliny straight?
Okay, no, cool. They're trying to franchise it.
Got it. Well, he describes cypress trees that were cut into the shape of figures, letters even, like messages, inscriptions, certain kind of things you might see carved in marble, like monuments, like obelisks and such, again, in this Tuscan villa. And he credited a guy named Gaius. Gaius Matius Calvinus for introducing this whole concept. It's art form to none other than Julius Caesar, who, you know, when you're Caesar, when you're king and you something strikes your fancy, it's going to strike the fancy of the whole, you know, empire. And that's exactly what happened. It became quite popular across the Roman Empire.
Right. Because as we see over and over again in human societies, when the people at up top do something, even if it's kind of dumb, then other people who aspire to be at that echelon will mimic it, will emulate it. I think another good, probably one of the most extreme examples of that is the origin of Castilian Spanish, where, you know, the ruler had a lisp. So everybody else was like, oh, yeah, por supuesto. Vosotros. And that's luckily, luckily, that's no longer a thing. If you go to Spain today, you'll see that most Spanish nationals, as younger generations come to the forefront, they are less likely to have that accent.
That is interesting. I did not know that story, Ben. That's super cool and random, but it's history is full of this kind of stuff. So the art of topiary, I think it's just topiary. I think that's its own plural or whatever. Topiary is the thing, and the art of topiary is the thing that you do. It was super popular under Caesar, but much like early flush toilet technology, when the Roman Empire fell, so did topiary. It fell out of fashion at the very least, because largely, you know, tough times. It was like a time of struggle when gardening and farming was more about being functional than it was about being decorative.
Yeah. Oh, and also I should say, Noel, Casey, fellow ridiculous historians, just in the interest of transparency, the story about the medieval king speaking with a lisp has been people debate back and forth over whether that's a myth. Lest we unfairly characterize medieval Spanish kings as, you know, their versions of Mike Tyson's.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done, outfit stunner, and my skin. I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode of Ridiculous History is brought to you by Mint Mobile.
You know, Ben, I gotta say, one of the best parts about spring cleaning is that post-clean clarity you get where you're like, man, how have I been living like this? What's wrong with me?
You're right, Noel. It's kind of like when you find out you've been paying a fortune for wireless when Mint Mobile has phone plans for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan.
It's time to switch to Mint Mobile and get unlimited talk, text, and data for $15 a month.
To get this new customer offer and your new 3-month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
That's mintmobile.com/ridiculous. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/ridiculous.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customers on first 3-month plan only.
Speed slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply.
See Mint Mobile for details. Like any aesthetic, we see a wax and a wane, a rise and a fall cyclically. And to your point, Noel, as constant infighting in these different empires made cities increasingly resort to big walls for security, there was less and less space for gardens, even if you were the people at the tippity top, the grand poobahs. So the topiary's ornamental nature had to shift. Now it had to have a function. You needed to have fruit trees. You needed to have things that could produce food.
That's right.
In case of, you know, another siege, which was a constant reality of the time.
Yeah. So also plants needed to be quite hearty, you know, and not be delicate, dainty little elephant-shaped bushes, you know, things that would stand under serious weather conditions or, as you put it, Ben, like, you know, certain wartime conditions even, although probably no amount of hardiness is going to, you know, stand up to a, you know, scorched earth kind of campaign, right?
Exactly. Yeah, this is not the place for the precious lilies, as we found, actually, because plants needed light and space, and in my opinion, they need some kind gardening to really thrive. You know, I'm a fan. I think we're all fans of talking to plants just for the funsies. Because of all these things plants needed, and because of these wartime situations that seem to occur constantly, there wasn't a lot of gardening of any kind in Europe for several centuries. Gardening went from being a privilege of the wealthy and a working man's industry to a thing that didn't really happen. It became anachronistic until Charlemagne, our friend from the Breakfast Club.
Charlemagne the God?
Mm-hmm. Till Charlemagne, in his younger days, in 800 CE, brought back gardening.
I knew it was only a matter of time. Yeah. I love, so it's so funny, like, Charlemagne, I guess, Casey, if we could put you on the case, that is like a French portmanteau, I guess, that means Charles the Great.
Well, it's from the French form of the Latin adjective magnus, meaning great. So, yeah.
Okay.
It's like if you, in French, if you said magnifique.
So it's sort of like a, yeah, like a slang. Magnificent, almost.
Great.
Yeah.
But it's also like saying VIN number or ATM machine then, right. Isn't it? Yeah, it's like bit. Charles the Great, the Great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a little redundant.
Casey on the case.
Casey on the case, indeed. Bump, bump. He is very much interested in this functional type of farming, you know, which is interesting. You'd think he maybe would have brought back topiaries right away, but he's more interested in herb gardens and fruit trees and bringing this stuff back to France. Around 1000 AD, monasteries followed suit and started, you know, we know monasteries have a history also of, like, you know, brewing beer and doing kind of more bespoke kind of handcrafts and stuff like that. They started cultivating herbs and flowers and little shrubs.
Oh, little shrubs.
Yeah, like the knights who say knee. Shrubbery, that's it.
Shrubbery. And so after about 1000 AD or CE, whatever you prefer, when this stuff is happening in Europe, we see that there are also these things called paradise gardens in Spain and Sicily. And these are a little bit different because they're not entirely functional. They're not sources of food during sieges. They come from the Moorish occupation because the Islamic culture controlled these parts of the world during this time. And I want to shout out to Beyond Bankies who have a great article on the history of topiaries by Larry Hurley, who talks about this. There's an interesting sort of contrast here because, like you said, the monasteries are growing herbs and flowers and shrubs, you know, and they're using these things for food. They're using them to flavor different beverages that they are creating, to make dyes for the illustrated manuscripts. The Moorish Paradise Gardens are saying, hey, let's just have a nice landscape to look at. You know what I mean? Let's take in the sunset and watch the butterflies flit about. So the thing was, it was cool. Everybody in some way, both of these pursuits led to green space. And now we have to introduce the Anglo-Saxons and the Vikings, who are, you know, mainly known for the pillaging.
The plundering, yeah. The scorching of the earth, not necessarily for their love of gardening. It's interesting. It does, however, look to be the case that Norman nobles actually reintroduced concepts of topiary, perhaps inspired by things they had seen in their travels, Islamic gardens, for example, in Sicily, you know, some of these types of gardens, enclosed plots that added a little bit of, you know, privacy, hedges kind of, you know, in castle courtyards and in some of these monasteries. And this is where the term, I believe, horticulture comes in, where we have the term hortus conclusus.
Well, that's a Harry Potter spell, right?
I think that's right. Which was a practice, I guess, of trimming hedges and topping them with almost like the kind of thing you'd see on the top of a Christmas tree, but with like standards, you know, like the eagle or whatever it might be, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And there was an increasing trend of sophistication because now topiary is back, baby. We're going Greco-Roman with it. You would see more intricate cuts of shrubs in the late 1300s. We saw the rise of a topiary known as the estrade. And things like rosemary, this is interesting. We'll talk a little bit about bonsai at some point, but shrubs like rosemary could be trained into these semi-uniform kind of standardized shapes. And you would do that by giving them an exoskeleton, basically iron frame that has a couple of different hoops of decreasing size.
And then that would kind of limit its growth in a certain way to make it take on that shape on its own. That's pretty cool.
And this coincided too. Again, the Italian Renaissance occurs later, and the Italian Renaissance is a bunch of people in Italy going full fanboy, like beast mode fanboy, for everything they consider ancient Rome. And part of that, surprise, surprise, was topiary.
So the kind of template, I guess, for this type of garden did really come out of Italy. Europe really looked to that model for a lot of these decorative gardens for several hundred years. These included these herb gardens, these form, like what to your point, Ben, the kind of restrained growth of these clipped herbs and these shrubs that would form, you know, when looked at from above, these really intricate geometric patterns. A lot of potted plants were happening. There would be espalier trees. Is that a type of a tree, Ben, or is that a style?
That's kind of the exoskeleton we're talking about.
Oh, that's the word for it. That's cool. I learned something new today. I learned several new things today. I try to learn something new most days. I think we all do here in Ridiculous History World. But yeah, these kind of little accents. And then also, Casey, to your point about The Shining, they didn't have spooky, you know, living topiary animals, but they did have a pretty boss hedge maze.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great, you know, sequence in that film. I've never personally walked a hedge maze or a corn maze for that matter. Have y'all ever found your, yeah, what's it like?
It's cool. They run the gamut because there are some that are meant to be more away to while away the afternoon. And so for some of those, they might not always be taller than human height, but then there are others that are really intricate. There's one I want to visit. you'll remember that book, The Codex, that I love. The the publisher of that, who was like a very old Italian money guy, was also known for having the world's largest hedge maze on his estate in Italy. And yeah, he passed away.
That's a flex.
That's a very specific weird flex. We should probably have Miles and Jack back on. Yeah. But yeah, and then corn mazes, you know, are seasonal. You can find them here in the southern US. And those are kind of like, I would put them in the pantheon of autumnal hangout things like hay rides, which you mentioned on a previous episode, or, you know, outdoor haunted houses.
Question, is the Minotaur at the center of a corn maze made of corn?
I don't believe there is a Minotaur, but it'd be cool if they had like a Minotaur
like a cow
themed,
or something.
Yeah, if they had either a Minotaur themed scarecrow yeah. or a straight up cow.
I do like that. Just to get surprised. Perhaps a disgruntled cow. Yeah, exactly. You know?
What about you, Casey? Corn mazes, hedge mazes?
I have not been to one. I was looking actually at pumpkin patches here in Georgia, and there is one that has some, you know, a tiny little corn maze kind of thing.
It's nearby.
On.
I think that's the one I went to with my family over the weekend. It's called Burt's Pumpkin Patch, and it's not on site, but I think there's a corn maze adjacent that's like a separate property. But they do a hayride that has some very subtle, not so subtle religious indoctrination coming from animatronic pumpkins.
And our pals Dylan Fagan was there, as well as Miranda Hawkins, I want to say.
That's right.
So...
it was a good time. I spent way too much money on pumpkins, but my house is looking very festive right now.
Nice. You're a pumpkineer. And please do carve them. I love it. I love carving pumpkins. So,
doing it this weekend.
Nice.
I'm going out with the girls this weekend. Nails done. Outfit stunner. And my skin? I know it's going to be glowing because I glammed up my shower routine with new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. It smells so luxurious and deeply moisturizes with its super rich, creamy lather that's bursting with vitamin B3 complex. So my skin glows and my confidence grows. Try new Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash for glowing skin in just 14 days.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On-demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Noel, do you remember your favorite car?
Well, yeah. It was an Eddie Bauer edition Ford Explorer.
Oh, that's
and
cool.
I just remember it was my dad's. I was a hand-me-down car kind of kid. Dad would buy a new car. I'd get that car. And I just remember feeling so awesome being up above everybody. Like I was in Mad Max or something, you know?
I had a lot of land yachts that I loved. I had Pontiac Bonnevilles.
Right.
Oh, I never had an El Camino. My dad had one. And that was a real interesting use of our collective time, keeping that thing running. But I think these cars all kind of speak to us because they were such a fundamental part of our lives. Do you remember when I had that Monte Carlo?
That's what I meant. I said El Camino and I meant Monte Carlo.
I miss it so. The Monte Carlo was tough. I had a series of Monte Carlos, and the last one, God bless it, I had to learn a lot about car maintenance just to keep that guy running.
Totally.
But it still was like a perfect fit. It's almost like finding your true love. You know, like when you recently got a car a few years back now.
Oh, man, and funny you should say that. That particular perfect fit was the Honda Fit, which I love dearly. But, Ben, it's getting a little long in the tooth. And while it's been incredibly reliable up to now, it's getting to that age where I might have to start looking for some parts here and there to keep it running.
Mm-hmm. And that's where eBay Motors comes in. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly.
Brake kits, LED headlights, roof racks, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it.
And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back.
Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash.
So keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com.
Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
So the Medicis, who are known for doing some evil stuff and also being big art patrons, and they're the billionaires of their day, basically. They love flexes. And so people in Medici social class and above are all about keeping up with the other obscenely wealthy Joneses. They want to always one-up each other with the most expensive, opulent displays of wealth, the biggest parties, the best art, the nicest, most impressive buildings. Horticulture is no exception. You will see things like the Villa Carracci right outside Florence, completed around 1416. It has all kinds of topiary, spheres, porticos, temples, vases, urns, bunch of animals, giant people-sized things, men, women.
So wild.
You know, famous people.
Yeah. I haven't really witnessed one of these. You know what happens when you get older? Mm. You get really into like pots and buying nice pots and pans and sweaters and gardening. Like, I never in a million years would have been like, I need a garden. But lo and behold, I spent way too much money on landscaping my backyard. And I love it. It's not nothing like this, but it's just nice to have, I don't know, I think it's maybe humanity's desire to kind of control their surroundings or to in some way exert, you know, their influence over, like, the earth or whatever. And a lot of the stuff that we're getting to, Ben, or that we're working through, it's all based around leisure time and, like, you know, the ability to do something just because it's nice. Like the, you know, let's watch the butterflies in the topiary garden. But I have not seen things like this in person. Have you been? It seems like in your travels, you would have wandered through some topiary gardens.
Yeah. And you can see, actually, we are immensely privileged to live in the fair metropolis of Atlanta because Atlanta is home to the Atlanta Botanical Garden.
They have Alice in Wonderland themed ones, don't they?
Yeah,
they have, I haven't been. Yeah. Okay,
it's God, a great, I'm it's a great it weekend date.
Yes,
you know,
yes,
take day and the kid, and I love going there as a group. They have a lot of cool, larger than life sculptures. Of course, being that it is a garden, it is seasonal. So check ahead. It's kind of like the High Museum. They have rotating stuff that goes in and out, and they have a lot of famous artists that come through who put their own spin on things. But yeah, we can see the topiary now, I believe. What is it? It's mid-October as we record. I don't know. We'll have to check. We'll check at the end, and we'll see what they've got going on. This might be like when we decided to go to a monster truck rally.
Yeah, that was really, really fun, except I did bring my kid who has some serious sensory overload issues. Monster truck rally, not the best place for a kid like that. But it was definitely an experience. It was also intensely hot, and I had forgot that there's no shade in those bleachers. You're just like under the beating, you know, oppressive sun.
Just the scale of it too, man.
It was neat. I'm glad I went. I don't think I'll ever go again, but like I can check that
I would
one
go
off my
if
list.
It was a different time of year. Or if it was more convenient, but it's just cool to see, you know, when you see a monster truck rally, what you're witnessing is the two absolute opposite spectrums of human intelligence and curiosity occurring simultaneously. Like imagine being smart enough to build this huge stadium, being ingenious enough to not only invent cars, but invent these amazing cartoon cars, and then also being human enough to say, well, now we should wreck them, you know, hold my
exactly.
beer. That's humanity.
It is. Yeah.
So
control, baby.
So the Italian gardeners become a huge industry, right? Italian topiary specialists. And they keep expanding to build these increasingly bigger things as the Medici type dudes are in an opulence arms race.
And these are the same folks that were like patrons of the arts. I mean, they had some very refined taste and they did some amazing things. You know, they were patrons and benefactors of incredible artists. We probably would not be able to enjoy the work of some of these figures if it weren't for the Medicis. And they also were big fans of flexing their wealth, you know, on the world. And by the way, Ben, the gardens that you mentioned were designed by another individual that these folks we could say were, you know, acting as benefactors for, the architect Leon Battista Alberti, who incorporated some really elaborate, like, you know, again, these Medicis wanted anything that they did, they went large, and they wanted Alberti to take the topiaries to places they'd never been before. Mm-hmm. So he had these like boxes, topiarized boxes, and that contained spheres, temples, urns. We had oxen, a partridge in a pear tree, a bear, goats. I'm just naming stuff now because they probably had it. Yeah, warriors, a harpy. I mean, this is like, you know, you ever see those guys on some of those like really over the top like cooking shows that like work in chocolate, you know, and they make a freaking race car out of chocolate. It's more like fabricating, you know, a product than it is making, you know, a delicious dish.
That's true.
The level that these folks were going, you know, to get the detail, to have like a harpy with the talons and like warriors, philosophers, cardinals. And popes. Absolutely wild stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the stuff we're naming, even if it sounds like we're being a little redundant there, you have to understand, if you can imagine a topiary sculpture, they probably did it. And they had visitors, international visitors, from places like France. So the royalty, the aristocracy of France comes over. Actually, I'm being diplomatic. The kings of France invade Italy several times. So it's kind of a visit with a motive. And while they are invading and sowing chaos, they like the gardens. And so, you know, war is a great communicator of culture, unfortunately, in addition to all the evil stuff it creates. So these French kings start importing Italian styles for all kinds of stuff, for food, for, you know, cuisine, for fashion, for literature, and of course, for topiary. And eventually, for a while, just like the Romans were kind of aping Greek style, for a while, the French were just emulating Italian style until they began developing their own sort of vibe. And their vibe is a little more militaristic almost, like rigid, symmetrical.
Yeah, very aesthetic. It really was like very kind of weirdly, almost like brutalist, topiary. Rigid, you're right, like you said, Ben, very rigid, a lot of symmetry. Very Wes Anderson would approve. He's a big Francophile. You know that, Casey? Wes Anderson is like permanently—
He lives there a lot of the time. Yeah.
At apartment in Paris, yeah.
I think he's there pretty much all the time. He loves it.
Whoa, hold the phone or hold the hedge trimmers. This is a two-parter.
Careful with those, by the way. Careful. Those are sharp.
They are. Yeah, watch yourself. We've gone deep and we're going deeper because there's a lot more to the story of topiary than you might clock if you're just walking through Versailles.
This is right. On this episode, we went deep. Next episode, we're going to go wide and hard in the paint when it comes to topiaries, the balloon animals of gardening.
So big, big thanks, of course, to Casey Pegram, our super producer, dear, dear family member of the show. Casey, we're going to ask, we'll give you till part two to ask if you want to, you know, make this a semi-regular thing. But thank you so much, man. You're the business.
Okay, I'll mull it over. Yeah,
give it some thought.
All right. We don't want to do a hard sell. Thanks also to, of course, Mr. Max Williams, super producer, Max Whitepants Williams.
God, his pants are just so white, blindingly white.
Blinded by the white.
Pants.
Yeah. And of course, thanks to his real life sibling, Alex Williams, who composed this slap and bop you hear right now.
Christopher Asiotis and Eve's Jeff Coates here in spirit. All the hits, Jonathan Strickland, that guy. Mm-hmm. You, Ben, Cheese Louise.
And also with you.
Hey, with all of you. We'll see you next time, folks. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The following is a High Five moment from HighFiveCasino.com.
Welcome to Burger Yippee. Would you like a hot apple pie today?
Yes, yes, yeah, I won! Woohoo!
So that's a yes on the apple pie?
I just went big time playing High Five Casino on my phone. Real cash prizes, free daily rewards, over 1,200 games. Yeah.
So yes or no on the apple pie?
Woo! I won again!
I'll take that as a yes. Drive around.
Have you had your High Five moment today? Only at HighFiveCasino.com.
High Five Casino is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
High Five Casino.
Happy Pride from Tomboy X. We just dropped our Pride 24 collection. Queer founded, queer run, and creating size and gender inclusive underwear, swimwear, and loungewear for all bodies. So you feel comfortable in your own skin. Visit TomboyX.com to shop.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.